is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We begin our number three, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis coming at you here. I am in Las Vegas. Jensen, our closer, is back home in Cleveland, Ohio. A lot of talk today. We're going to get to news and noise here in a sec, but I just wanted to ask you very quickly. We've been talking a lot about the Yankees and the Torpedo Bats on this program, and for pitchers on the opposite side, like we've talked about controversies a lot throughout this program. Are they real controversies when it came to the doctoring of the baseball, right? We know what the difference is between, you know, added Vaseline on your hat or an emery board, as we mentioned with Joe Niekro. But like, this is does not feel like a controversy with the Torpedo Bats. Is there something to be said about the spider tack? Will that come back around for pitchers to get a grip on the baseball?
Unlikely, because it is an illegal substance, and this is a legal way to actually make the bat. And so a lot will be predicated on how this proliferates, if you will. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, mm-hmm. Dave, as you well know. And it's not just limited to the Yankees. So for people just joining us, again, these bats were used by other players and other teams. Ryan Jeffers for the Twins, Junior Caminero for the Tampa Bay Rays. So it's not just isolated. It's getting the run because of the home runs, okay? And this is why I get the initial shock value of it. I need to see another 3, maybe 4 weeks of not only the data, but also the results. And I think we'll get a pretty big window into that this upcoming series at Yankee Stadium when the Arizona Diamondbacks come to town and they've got their three aces going in Corbin Burns and Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. So you're facing a major upgrade in pitching. And if it continues, then, you know, we'll see what happens here as we get towards the end of April.
15 home runs for the Yankees in that sweep of the Brew Crew, 36 runs scored in that series. So just something to keep an eye on when you get to those totals. Obviously, the other big news today is all four number one seeds have advanced to San Antonio, only the second time since the expansion of the tournament that we've seen this happen. Very quickly, we're seeing 4.5-point favorites here for Duke over Houston, 2.5-point favorites for Florida over Auburn. Is this okay for basketball, that with the NIL and the way basketball now, at least in the college landscape, we're getting the best of the best, as we would think here, with the four number ones? Is that okay for March Madness? And I wonder if that continues going forward.
Not only are we getting the best of the best, Dave, this may be the best Final Four from a statistical standpoint that we've had. And that goes back to the offensive and defensive efficiency ratings, the KenPom statistics and ratings. I mean, you have four of the top 10 that has ever been recorded, and you have the number two in Duke, for previously recorded teams. So I'm anxious to see how the Jani Broom situation ends up working itself out in the coming days. We've already seen from the beginning of our show that the Florida money line has ticked down from $1.55 to $1.48. So already a little bit of money trickling in on War Eagle. And then also I'm still going to try and wrap my head around if the Houston Cougars, as the number one defensive team going up against the number one offensive team in Duke, you're giving me the Cougars at multiple possessions here, and I'd rather err on the side of them being able to shut down. This is by far the best defense that Duke has faced all year. They have yet to really, quote unquote, lay an egg. Not to say they will. They could be UConn and just stampede through, but man, it's going to be hard to get away from Houston, I think, come Saturday night.
Those are the big headlines here to begin hour number three. And, of course, later on in this hour, we're going to get to some NFL win totals that are out. So that's going to be a lot of fun if you're looking in the futures market. And Carl Johnson is going to join us down there from Beau Rivage to break down how the books fared over the weekend and what they're looking forward to in the Final Four. But without further ado, it is time for news or a whole lot of noise.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
You know, it didn't happen once. It didn't happen twice. It happened thrice. Three walk-offs for the Marlins to begin the season 3-1 with their wins over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Is this news or just, man, happenstance and just a lot of noise?
Well, it's news from the standpoint of Clayton McCullough coming in, new manager. Obviously, he came over from the Dodgers coaching staff, had these guys in a great spot coming out of camp to actually believe in what they had internally. And, you know, again, we shall see as they definitely step up in weight class going from the Pirates to the Metropolitans, your Metropolitans coming in. It'll be anxious awaiting how they kind of come out of the chute here and if they're around late because the Mets bullpen is pretty solid as well. So, hey, hats off because this is why you play all the way through the finish line, man. But three consecutive walk-offs, a historic feat for Miami for sure.
Yeah, we're seeing the Mets almost close here at DraftKings, $1.98. The comeback in the Marlins here, just south of $1.70. And by the way, I thought Gil Alexander and the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, had a great conversation about dime lines in Major League Baseball. Factor that in here before you make some of those wagers because sometimes you're not getting the best value with what these books are doing if you see those adjusted numbers. How about this with the San Francisco 49ers? Brandon Ayuk, unlikely to be traded before the roster bonus is due on Tuesday. That'd be 22.85 milli. Is that news or noise?
Well, because it's a bonus, right? The roster bonus is critical in understanding how that cap works. Significant chunk of the salary. And again, it would be a blockbuster if he does get traded. We've heard the rumors, right, Dave? I mean, he's been shopped around a boatload. There has been some smoke around certain destinations. I know here in Cleveland, there was talk about Ayuk potentially being dealt here, but they got to keep somebody for Brock Purdy to throw to. I mean, what am I missing here on their number to win the division right now? I know we're going to talk win totals coming up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, are we really thinking that this is a prolific receiving core? And can they contend with one of the most dominant divisions in football? At least they have the potential to be that way.
It does. It's interesting what they're doing, right? And you saw those numbers get shorted, and certainly the Rams have been the big money mover here in the futures market to win the NFC West. I think if you're backing the Niners at this point, you're backing John Lynch and you're backing Kyle Shanahan that they know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, but that's what you're doing. You're betting on them. That we know what we're doing with Ayuk. We know why we traded Deebo Samuel to D.C. So we'll figure out because right now they look a little bit thin in the wide receiver market. How about Coach Prime? I mean, Deion Sanders is one of my favorite athletes ever to watch when he played baseball and football, certainly. And now you watch him coach, and it looks like he knows what he's doing there too. Colorado, he's not going anywhere, at least not in the short term. They've agreed to a five-year, $54 million contract extension. Is this news or noise?
Well, I mean, it's massive news because that now puts him, I believe, number four behind Dabo Swinney, Ryan Day, and Kirby Smart. Good business if you can get it, being the head football coach of one of these big-time programs. So Kirby's at 13.2, Ryan Day at 12.5, Dabo at 11.1, and now Deion gets past Steve Sarkisian, 10.8. Sark is at 10.6. So obviously, he felt pretty good about where they could be. He's transformed that university and not only just the football team, but the interest level, right? Everything around that university, from athletics to student body, everything has ticked up in a big way. And so the juice was worth the squeeze, and it is prime time there in Boulder, no question about it.
I'll say this. There are coaches that, certainly in football, that you will back their teams financially. And if you lose, like, let's say when Saban was at Alabama, or if you bet against Urban Meyer in his heyday, certainly at Ohio State, and those guys didn't get to the window for you, I can tip my cap. You mentioned it. It is a lot of pomp and circumstance. I mean, he brings it, right? But are we past that stage now? Like, Colorado's convinced this isn't an act. Like, he can really coach. Do you trust Deion when it comes to the betting market?
I would think that if he's shown you what he can do with not a lot, now this year is probably the most important from a betting standpoint to back him is, okay, you're not going to have Shador. You're not going to have Travis Hunter, and they're incredibly dynamic players. What does this early test of the schedule look like for them? And in this kind of conference, how can they compete if they don't have the signal caller that has been as dynamic as Shador has? So when you have the Heisman Trophy winner departing and your starting quarterback, a lot of questions to answer. So we learn a lot if that almost $11 million yearly salary is going to be worth it.
Surprise! Kevin Willard is now the new men's basketball coach at Villanova. Oh, what a tournament it was for Kevin Willard in his time in Maryland. Is this news or just noise that we all knew was going to happen?
Yeah, boatload of noise, right? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where I'm going to go. You know, I put Kevin Willard right up with Myles Garrett. The about face, just embarrassing. And again, if you're a player or recruit, have that in mind when Kevin Willard comes up on your caller ID and wants you to come be a Villanova Wildcat. I would have trepidation going to play for this guy. Two-faced from a standpoint of, hey, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. And then all of a sudden, there are ways to handle it much better than he did. And so I hope Maryland gets a guy that can be a bit more of a character guy than what we just saw.
I'll just say this, like I the landscape of it, and this is why when the players are in the portal and people are outraged by that and the coaches are always in the portal, it does seem they got to figure out a way to switch that up so that you can concentrate, the kids and the coaching staffs can concentrate on the jobs at hand. Will Wade, I know Will's had his issues, so it's not like he's the bastion of truth out there. I get that. But at least Will was pretty upfront that he was leaving McNeese and told his kids about that. So, Kevin, I don't know what you did behind closed doors with those kids, but certainly with the media, it looked like you were spinning two different tales there. We kind of all knew. We talked about it in this program last week. He gone. We could read between the lines there, and he is officially gone now from Maryland. I'll be curious to see where they go there. Maybe Dwayne Simpkins, a guy, a former Terp who led American University to the tournament, a guy that's being bandied about here maybe as their next head coach. If you want more than just college basketball, obviously, we can get you covered here. $9.99. That's the introductory offer to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. So daily best bets across every sporting spectrum out there. Betting splits, Jensen, you're so good about keeping an eye on those as the day goes as well. Expert analysis in every sport possible. Congratulations, Wes Reynolds, getting Minwoo Lee home yesterday down there at the Shriners Houston Open. Another one you could have access to as a VSiN Pro subscriber and betting systems out there. $9.99 intro offer, but it's not going to last forever. When we come back, win totals are out in the NFL. It's Christmas at the last day of March. That's next.
To VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, and over the weekend, boy, did I get excited with you and Jared in the text thread. I was like, oh, win totals are out. Like, to me, it is when they populate. I'm always fascinated what the books do this far out of the NFL season, and to try to find actionable spots. Because obviously I'm going to have opinions on the teams that we already have maybe been earmarking to see what those numbers come out at. But Jensen, when you saw these numbers come out across the board, what do you do? Do you like to make your own numbers, see what the books have, and then try to find advantages that way?
I think the first thing is, again, where are teams ascending or descending? And just doing that objectively, right? You look at last year. You look at what's transpired thus far this offseason, and then even before the draft, how much can one of those first round picks or multiple first round picks, if teams have them, are they instant contributors to move that or help get that team into a position to achieve maybe another couple of wins, or maybe that's for the future? But I'll tell you, I know we're going to have a couple of comparisons here. There are some, there's an over and an under that I might lock in today, just knowing where the line value is for sure.
Well, let's get to it, because you knew I couldn't wait to see what numbers they would hang on. Not my team, not your team, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. And I am stunned when I see 7.5s and you can get plus money on the over. I mean, whoosh, what a slap in the face to America. Okay, so you look at that versus the shoe for the Colts, and Jensen, did I miss something? Is Anthony Richardson still a project at quarterback? Is that what we're still doing in Indy? So that's even money, $1.10 either way, for the Colts at 7.5 or the Cowboys at 7.5. In our version of NFL, would you rather? Which way would you rather go for those 7.5s?
I think I would lean on the under 7.5 for the Colts, and just kind of anticipating what that division may look like. And I realize we will probably have a rookie quarterback starting for Tennessee. What will we get with the Liam Cohen era beginning in Jacksonville? I just I don't know if there is a quarterback there between Richardson, between Daniel Jones. I mean, if you're hitching your survivor life on that, maybe that's another factor for me. If I've got to win with an ugly team, I can't win with either of those guys right now.
And I'll just say this. Look, if you look at that win total at 7.5 for each one of those teams, I understand if you're going to, man, I can't play the Cowboys over. You could say now because it's the division they're in. If you backed the Cowboys last year before all the injuries and Dak was out, you would have been the same argument. You would have said, well, the division's terrible. The Giants are the Giants, and the Commanders are awful. Now the Commanders aren't awful. So that's why now it's 7.5 if you play that under, and the Eagles obviously go on and win the Super Bowl. So now you can make the case that the Cowboys are the third best team in that division, at least on paper. So I understand that argument, and that the division that the Colts play in is much weaker. Houston, really good. We get it from their perspective. But maybe there's more attainable wins to get to 8 than there would be for the Cowboys. So in that NFL math, I can understand how you would get there. But I would just caution people this. Keep fading those Cowboys, I get it. But Dak Prescott, before he got hurt, he was second in MVP balloting 2 years ago. So if Dak comes back healthy, to me, that's a playable number at 7.5 with plus money. I don't trust Anthony Richardson right now to prove it to me that that team is ready. For me to say, out of those two teams, if you made me bet which one I'd play the over on, I'd have to go to the Cowboys before I went to the Colts, and that's just not a homer talking. We keep waiting for Mike Tomlin to have a losing record. And as Tom Petty once sang, the waiting is the hardest part because it hasn't happened yet. 8.5 is what they're hanging there with the Steelers. How about the Vikings? I guess J.J. McCarthy, we trust. Sam Darnold's not walking through that door. He gone. He's in Seattle. So out of these two, you can get over money if you want to bet the Steelers to do again what Mike Tomlin has done every single year as a head coach, and that's win at least 9 games now with a 17-game schedule and not have a losing record, plus $1.15. But we don't know what they're doing at quarterback. Do you trust the unknowns in these quarterback markets? Because we're assuming it's J.J. We assume he's okay. And Pittsburgh, we just don't know yet if it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think that I would go under for both of these teams. I don't want anything to do with it right now. Just as you mentioned, the uncertainty there for Pittsburgh is what it is. But I mean, you're looking at $1.35 on the under there. So something is seriously implied here. And I don't think that any of these odds markets believe that a quarterback coming in, regardless of the name value, is going to change that. If you're going to force me to choose, I'm probably leaning the Steelers under 8.5. I think the story ends finally for Mike Tomlin. It's been a great run. But that division, knowing what the AFC landscape looks like overall, I would lean the under 8.5.
And don't you think those are brutal divisions?
Yeah.
The Bears, we do believe the Bears are getting better this year, right? We know how good, obviously, Detroit is. We'll get to them in a second. And we know how good Green Bay has been since Jordan Love took over our quarterback there. So, like, are they? And I was all over the Vikings last year. You know that. That was cashing tickets. It was a great season to be a Viking ticket holder. I don't know that I want to hold those tickets this year. Conversely, yes, the Browns are down, so maybe you can find some wins there if you're Pittsburgh. But good luck against Cincinnati with Joey B back, and certainly good luck against Baltimore. Like, out of those two divisions, it will be tougher for the Vikings, won't it? Because there still is one outlier, no disrespect to Cleveland. They feel like the weak link out of those 8 teams in those 2 respective divisions.
The Vikings at plus money under, I actually do like, just knowing that the rookie quarterback, it's so difficult year in and year out to win in the National Football League. And for a first full season, if he is indeed healthy for that, Dave, you and I have watched, it doesn't matter who the rookie quarterback is, you've watched plenty of DCs be able to scheme something up once you get some film, once you see what they like to do. I would rather be on an under ticket and, you know, get some plus money for it than have my hopes and prayers that they're able to get anywhere close to duplicating what they did last year.
You know, it's so funny because I think every year you could have made the case when the Steelers were 10-3 last year. Like, Mike Tomlin's going to win Coach of the Year finally. He's finally going to get it. Then everything just fell apart, 10-7, and then you lose in the first round of the playoffs. KOC now in Minnesota. Like, do we trust that if he, I don't know that he fixed Sam Darnold, but that's going to be the narrative, that the reason why they went out and got J.J. McCarthy and drafted him out of Michigan is that's got to be KOC saying to the front office, yes, give me this kid. We can make it work. Do we trust KOC in that regard?
Sure, in theory. And then you get out there and then you see the adjustments that defenses make. And I think more importantly, what can that defense for Minnesota do up against the potential just in the division of what they're going to go against? Think also too, where, you know, some of the scheme for offense is now. We saw even with Sam Darnold, there were days, I mean, even just into the put, they couldn't get anything going. That's an experienced quarterback,
right,
Dave. And so again, some trepidation for me, trusting a rookie quarterback to be able to get nine or more.
Well, we talked a little bit about this with the Niners in News and Noise, and it looks like Brandon Ayuk's still going to be on that roster. At least they're going to have to pay him that. They're not going to trade him. 10.5 is the number that's been set out there for two heavy hitters in the NFC, at least one that we know the Lions now. I don't know that there's any debate. I know they've had some attrition, and certainly you've lost two of your top offensive and defensive coordinators if you're Dan Campbell. Juiced evenly, minus $1.10 for that 10.5 win total. What about the Niners? Even money if you want to get 11 or more wins, juiced to the under, minus $1.25 for San Francisco. Now, normally their win totals are around 11.5. So the books have already adjusted thusly there. Which team would you trust more if you had to play an over, Detroit or San Fran at 10.5?
I'm probably leaning Detroit at the moment, but I don't hate getting plus money on the Niners. And I know I was just like, well, okay, if you're Detroit Ayuk, who in the heck do you have? Ricky Pearsall? Are you the number one receiver? I know a lot of that predicated on Christian McCaffrey being healthy again. And what do you get out of him now at this stage of his career? But man, when Robert Saleh got there and you just heard how excited guys were that was back.
Ooh.
I mean, that was one of the great defenses in his tenure there. And so perhaps, you know, they win some ugly games. And if you're going to pay Brock Purdy, and you mentioned it, the headline is trust John Lynch, right? If you're a Niner fan, they'll go out and they'll do what they have to do to be able to stock Brock Purdy with some better weaponry, or at least try and reload to get them in competition for as many wins as possible.
It is fascinating now to see that kind of a lead for the first time. We don't know that San Francisco is going to be the juggernaut. Remember going into last year, this time last year, it was 11.5, and you know, you had to pay the freight if you wanted to back the Niners. I get it. Injuries, it all kind of fell apart. Detroit's interesting because the division is better. Mm-hmm. I don't think the NFC West, I know some people are fading Seattle with Sam Darnold there. We don't know exactly what to make of the Cardinals. They look spunkier. I think we all look at the Rams and think they're going to be better. It's Detroit for me. You might be buying low on Detroit now because everybody else feels like the Bears are there. I think the Vikings might take that step back. I kind of look to the over on the Lions at 10.5 and think at the end of the year we're going to go, wait, it's still Detroit. They still have Jared Goff playing at a super high level. Dan Campbell is still biting kneecaps. Like, I kind of like the Lions play here. I can't believe I'm saying it for the first time. It feels like there's actually value on people starting to think that the Lions are coming back to the pack. I don't see it happening just yet. All right, when we come back, we're going to go down to Beau Rivage, catch up with Carl Johnson, see how the books made out, and what to look for the Final Four. That is next year, VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. We look forward to our conversation each and every Monday with our guy Carl Johnson down there at Beau Rivage. Does a great job running that book. You can follow him on X as I do at Jick Jack Johnson. Joins us once again on the Progressive Guest Line. Carl, happy Monday to you. How was the weekend? Because all the talk had been about the SEC, obviously, in this NCAA tournament. And as I jokingly put out, hey, they can only one team's going to be in the final, that overrated SEC, Carl. I mean, it's still the most dominant conference in college basketball, whether it's going to be Auburn or Florida. Somebody's going to have a chance to cut down the nets next Monday night. Is there liability from that, whether it is Auburn or Florida, if one of those two SEC schools does get it done?
Yeah, for us, you know, so look, I mean, nowadays you have to kind of look at this stuff. It's very regional. I mean, you know, the needs that I have, you know, and I just worry about the stuff that we talk about on here. I'm just referencing my book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only thing that I can control, but you got to look at this stuff regionally now. I mean, my needs are a whole lot different than say, TG's out at Borgata,
right,
or, you know, even though we're in the same company. So it's a little weird. You know, we had seven teams still available in the Sweet 16, and you know, we've been heavily bet this year with Auburn from the get-go. So that's where most of our liability is at. But the good thing is that, you know, teams like Florida have made a run, you know, all season. They've had a great year, and we've got, you know, a little liability there too. But, you know, some of the things that helped us along the way is the, like, for instance, the Arkansas game the other day when they caught fire and, you know, they looked like they could beat everybody in the world, Oh, and we got some money funneled in there. So it's been an interesting basketball season. It's going to be a great Final Four.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Carl, I made the comment that I think this will be the best Final Four that we've probably seen, and knowing that the other iteration was 2008, the last time we had four number one seeds. You and I will be rooting against Auburn just because I know you have liability. They're my shortest future that I have in pocket at plus 440. I've got Florida at 13-1, Houston at 12-1, and Duke at 12-1. So anyone but Auburn. Nice. And you got a happy camper here. When you guys hung the initial lines here and were kind of formulating where you wanted to put it, I know that we're all going to kind of watch the Jahni Broome situation. How much throughout the week will you guys try and monitor that? And maybe how much does that depend on the fluctuation of where that spread might be?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, I'm sure everybody will be watching very closely. So, I mean, right now we're going to open up Florida minus 2.5, 160.5. You know, money line minus 150, take back with Auburn plus 125. Look, head-to-head last 10 games between these two teams, they're 5-5. I mean, they're right there. The most recent matchup, actually Florida was like an 11-point dog at Auburn, and they win it outright 90-81. So, we'll be watching, you know, the injury reports and all that stuff. And you'll be able to tell real quick because you'll see these lines jump, you know, when these sharps start hitting these things.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you, Carl, going back to that first meeting between those teams and the way Florida handled them in their barn there in Auburn, and only be 2.5-point favorites and the injury concern here to Broome. I'm a little bit surprised here on a Monday where that number sits. Just overall, because Jensen and I talked about it with these four number ones, only the second time since the expansion of the tournament that we've had this. Is that good for you guys down there? Is it good that you have the power players and not the Cinderellas at this level?
Yeah, because, you know, look, and it's good, you know, for all the books nationwide. So for me, you know, the two of the teams I've got pretty good liability, so only one of them can win it. But if you look at, if you ask, you know, Mike Palm and those guys at Circa and TG, you know, where their liability's at, I mean, you look at this Final Four, it's pretty much everybody's got liability with these Final Four teams. I mean, you know, the fact that we've got four number ones, you know, I think only the second time in history and the last since 2008. It's phenomenal when you stop and look at it.
Carl, as we look at both these matchups and kind of dig down a little bit, any initial indicators of where people would like to go? I know people will obviously look at the spread and the total for the full game. Will you guys take a bit, you feel, on first halves and maybe race to tens, things of that nature, where it may not be the common bets that we see, especially for Final Four games, but maybe people trying to gain advantage in those secondary markets?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so one of the things that's become really popular and it maintains true for us was, you know, this the race to 15 for us has just been a phenomenal market, and I'm sure it's been like that, you know, throughout the country. You know, that's a fun bet. I mean, you know, and I like to play the dog there. You know, I just most of the time you can get them at plus money. So it's been a really good bet. It'll still be a good bet. You know, but the thing is that, you know, these first halves and the end games, those will be really good markets. It's going to be fun. The fact that we've got both of these games, you know, on Saturday, you know, that's going to help too, instead of doing the split 1-1, but, you know, we're ready for it. It's going to be fun.
instant gratification call. Everybody wants to, they want to cash that ticket right away, get that 15. Yeah. They don't want to wait the whole 60. Let me ask you about Major League Baseball now that the first weekend is over. You talk about regional and you being down south, certainly with basketball, how it affects the SEC action in college basketball and college football. What about down there with the Braves getting off this terrible start at 0-4 and maybe the surprise of the Marlins winning three games down there? Did you see a lot of action on Major League Baseball betting in this first weekend?
You know, we haven't, the first day, day one, opening day, we had a, you know, we had a pretty good crowd and we had some money flowing, but, now we'll pick up, that market will pick up for us once the basketball is over with. So we had that initial rush and look, this is what's weird here. So, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, you could only watch a couple of TV stations as old as I am. And it was that it was the Braves and it was the Cubs, you know.
Right.
But one of the biggest things, the teams that we're bet heavily on here is the Astros. People love the Astros. Hmm. And then, you know, we get some pretty good Florida crowds in here and they love those Florida teams. So. Usually in baseball, it's a nice market for us, nothing out of the ordinary. Hockey is very comparable to that. You know, we're like a Tampa Bay Lightning book during hockey season for whatever reason. So, it's a live book. It just depends on what sport we're looking at.
Carl, as we get towards the end of the NBA regular season here, I know you guys will probably have some uptick there for the postseason once March Madness gets done. What will you guys shift your focus to now? Will it be primarily those upcoming basketball and hockey postseasons? Will you take any college baseball liability as we start to get to the College World Series down there in SEC country?
Yeah, so College World Series is really good for us because, I mean, normally we've got some a few SEC teams in there as well. NBA, they bet us pretty evenly. You know, our New Orleans Pelicans, are never involved at a late stage in the season. So, that would help us. But, you know, the national market takes over here for NBA basketball. You know, they're betting the Celtics, the Lakers, Cleveland, who I think is the best team out there this year, is getting a lot of wagers every night. So, it's exciting. And that's going to be, I can't wait. Out of all the markets that we've got left, I want to see who wins this NBA this year.
Carl, very quickly, I know you guys don't have the win totals out yet for the NFL. Is that something that you're going to wait until the NFL draft, and then after the draft, those numbers are populate?
Yeah, and like I was telling you off air, I'm gonna tell you this: if Dallas can't get over 7.5, there's going to be a reckoning in Dallas, Texas. So look, my boss is a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. So, you know, we got to keep the peace. We got to get them some wins. So he'll be in a good mood.
I just couldn't believe I saw some initial 7.5s out there, Carl. I'm like, what is going on in 2025 Dallas? If that's where the win totals are starting.
Yeah. You gotta play that over. I just don't know how you could play it under. I mean, you gotta play that over 7.5. I just, you know, you got a new coach in the building. I don't think you can play that under there. And I think actually, you get plus money at 7.5 for whatever reason.
That is insane, but I'm with you. If you're a good red-blooded American, you got to play the over on the Cowboys 7.5. Carl, we always appreciate the time, my friend. Enjoy it. And we'll catch up again next week here on the eve of the national championship next Monday.
All right. Looking forward to it. You guys have a good one.
There he is. Give him a follow. Thanks, on Carl. X. A very entertaining follow, by the way, at Jick Jack Johnson on X. Thanks for Carl joining us here in the Progressive Guest Line. When we come back, Jensen, it will be time to give out our best bets. But again, right now, if you sign up right now, our betting splits. You use those betting splits because I know you use them very well each and every day. $9.99 introductory offer right now. You have access to all those betting splits. We are back.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. A great conversation with Carl Johnson in the last segment. And, yeah, you know, some of these places that don't have those win totals up yet in the NFL, we are waiting to see what the initial looks would be at some of these teams. The fact that the Cowboys are at 7.5, and we were going over it with Jared during the break here, our producer, it's not an easy schedule either, people. So do not blindly bet these things. Again, a lot of people like to wait until the draft is over and see if they're – but if you're banking on a first-round pick, I know like Cleveland, right, Jensen, you can't bet a Browns future yet unless you know what they're going to do at quarterback, right?
I was mentioning to you there were two totals that really jumped out to me. The Dolphins over 8.5 at +110, I really actually like, even with the Tyreek Hill social media controversy about is he going to get traded, is he not? And then the Titans, I haven't been high on Cam Ward, and getting the under 5.5 at +125. That was the exact number I think you and I talked about. Mm-hmm. We were surmising, okay, what would it be? Are you shocked the Browns are lower at 4.5?
I'm not shocked, because again, the division, like we talked about, part of that Steelers handicap here, if you want to bet the over, is you better get two wins against Cleveland. Yeah. They didn't do that last year. They were not able. Remember the snow globe game when Jameis Winston, they weren't able to win that one, and maybe ultimately that cost the Steelers that division at that point, because at that point they were still 10-3, you know, in that run. So you better get those two against Cleveland. Like, how many can Cleveland win in the division to get to 5? Can they win 2 in the division? That feels like a big task if you're going to back the Browns. There's no way I'm backing the Browns.
Yeah, I guess the only other ones that stood out to me, I mean, are we shocked the Texans are at 9.5 at plus money to go over? I know a lot of people are going to be betting the Patriots over 8.5.
Yep.
I think maybe if I had my druthers, would you rather be on the under 4.5 +120 for the Browns or the over 8.5 at even money for the Cardinals?
Oof. That's a tough, because again, that division, is Seattle going to be the worst team in the West? I don't know that they are. To me, you're really counting on two big jumps from the Cardinals to be a winning football team, and the Patriots with Mike Vrabel year one, year two, Drake May. Those are big ass to all of a sudden turn these losing franchises around and be 9 or 10 win teams. So probably not going to be looking to look to those markets there for the win totals. Might find my pickings elsewhere, and you know that means I'm going to be looking at those Cowboys. Let's get to our best bets. They're brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And the final four is set. We know that. It's four number ones. And look, that still does surprise me. It's only happened twice here in the history of the expanded tournament. So even though now it's held, and congrats to you and Greg Peterson too. Both you guys had this final four nailed correctly. I thought there'd be a little bit more chaos. It did not come. Duke has been even better than I thought they would be in this run. And I guess that's why now you can find it circa Duke is even money to cut down the nets. Jensen, has your opinion of these teams changed as this tournament has gone on?
I think Houston is really standing out just from, when they need to lock down, God, they have been able to do it. And now their stiffest test. We talk about how Duke is going to be facing the best defense they've faced. This will be the best offense, head and tails, that the Cougars have faced. So anxious to see with that. If you have been following us and listening to us, we mentioned about Auburn. We also mentioned about Duke. If you wanted to roll over the money lines, yep, for profit, that was the better way to do it, because you know the Duke number is not playable at this point. You might as well just roll the money lines here to get a better payout. I am now anxious to see from my best bet from the March Madness, the March Mania betting guide. One of my best bets was Florida to advance farther than Auburn. Here we are, head to head. This one gets decided in the first game on Saturday night. And I'll be anxiously awaiting the Jani Broom updates and following the number as it goes. I still think if you're at 2.5 here for Florida, school of Matty Eumanns, right? Just throw the spread out. Just get Florida with a little bit more juice to on the money line to advance if that's the side that you want to back.
I will say this. It is fascinating when you look at the remaining Final Four teams and Gil Alexander coming up next year on a numbers game. Gil had been talking about the model, and the only team that didn't make the criteria to cut down the nets was Florida, because Todd Golden had never been to the Sweet 16 as a head coach. I was so ready when it looked like guns up from Lubbock had those guys beat to say, The model is still undefeated, right? It's still working here with the exception of those two outliers of UConn back in the day. Again, with first-time head coaches back then in Kevin Ollie and certainly Danny Hurley to cut down the net. So Golden is the outlier there from that predictor from Gill. But again, Duke, Houston, Auburn all fit the criteria, and here they are. So hopefully you've been listening to a numbers game as well, because that could have got you right down close here down the primrose path. Let's see if Florida can upset that apple cart. But, boy, they've got nine lives. They might have used up two of them already just to get to this point against UConn, certainly against Texas Tech. How about Major League Baseball today as we look at this slate? And, again, some of the lineups this early in the morning are not going to be out. So you really have pitchers to go on here, Jensen. Without knowing those lineups, how do you start to make those early handicaps? And again, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you'll update the guide as the day goes on, so you have access to those plays. How important is that lineup construction when you see it versus the pitchers that are already listed?
Yeah, first of all, the weather, too. Yep. And it rained significantly here overnight in Cleveland. So the Midwest, looking at Chicago, the White Sox and the Twins play at 2:10 Eastern time. So keeping an eye on that. Also Boston and Baltimore at 2:35. Philly is at home against Colorado in Cincinnati as well. So some of those Midwest teams to be kind of on the lookout for. If you're looking to back, you know, some starting pitching props, that's always something to take into effect with outs recorded, strikeouts, things of that nature. If you're talking about pitchers, I am anxious to see Jackson Jobe, one of the most heralded starting pitching prospects in baseball. He gets his start tonight in Seattle against Emerson Hancock. So two young flamethrowers going at each other. I do lean Tigers money line right now at this point, but no plays just yet. There was a run line, I think. Cubs went from 83% to 87% on the -1.5 first game in Sacramento here for the Athletics. Remember, I told you one of the themes we'll be tracking: how does the ball travel early in the season with temperatures still down versus when we get into the end of May, June, July, when that humidity and those temperatures approach the upper 90s and triple digits. So anxious to see how that plays out. So that's kind of the landscape for me. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, obviously I will add throughout the day. One NBA play in pocket, Dave, and it has already moved a boatload. I got the under on the Heat and Wizards early in hour number one, under 220.5. As I'm looking at it right now, that is all the way down to 216.5. So a 4-point move already. So feeling really good about that.
By the way, and we talked to Adam Rosenberg in hour number two as well. And Adam was pointing out these totals here in Major League Baseball, maybe setting those a little bit high so far. You mentioned that game there between Detroit and Seattle. That is the lowest one on the board here at 7.5 with the young phenom on the bump here for Detroit. And the only other one that's 7.5, you mentioned the weather in Chicago. That is Chris Paddock with the Twins trying to get their first win against Martin Perez. That is also at 7.5, just a little bit to that over at $1.15. But back to Seattle here again, 7.5. It is juiced to the under. Do we trust a rookie first Major League Baseball start to go out there and have immediate success?
I think he'll be good. And his spring training was very, very solid, Dave. And what you love about where this matchup is overall is that we just saw the Tiger lineup be pretty shut down from the Dodgers pitching staff. And you're getting nearly an equivalent one here with Seattle tonight. And even with Hancock being the youngster that he is, that is good to see if you're an underbacker. So as I said, out of the gates here, you're going to get a spacious T-Mobile Park there. So if you like the outs, if you like the strikeouts for both those young starters, great actionable spots for later in the slate.
G-Bank, of course, is upping the ante here up to a $750 bonus for new G-Bank Visa Signature Card customers, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from opening up that account. They're going to get a $250 bonus right off the bump. In addition, you're going to spend $50K or more on gaming and sports loads apps. Within the first 30 days of opening up that account, you're going to get another $500 bonus. That's potentially $750 right then and there. You can apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions do apply. Jensen, very quickly, when I look down the slate of Major League Baseball here, you know, it always says, you know, Detroit Tigers, Seattle Mariners, Atlanta Braves, LA Dodgers. It says Chicago Cubs and Athletics. Just the Athletics. It's going to be their debut in Sacramento today. What do we make of that? 8.5 is the total here. Ben Brown going up against Joey Estes. We think this is going to be a hitter's park, right?
Yeah, I saw the total kind of tick up here, and obviously looking at the splits, 46% of the bets, but 57% of the money on the under 8.5. So to be a stay away, just initially would love to see how it ultimately plays out. Chicago's been scoring. They're scoring in Arizona. Let's see how it works in Sacramento.
Yeah, they're scoring, and they're giving up some runs, too, with that bullpen, as we saw in Arizona yesterday, too. Jensen, great stuff as always. Don't go anywhere, anybody. America, we got you covered right here. It is a numbers game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. That is next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.